Major of Technology, first topic, Technology and Science. Under Technology and Science is technology draws on science and contributes to it. In earlier times, technology grew out of personal experience with the properties of things and with the techniques for manipulating them, out of know-how handed down from experts to apprentices over many generations. The know-how handed down today is not only the craft of single practitioners, but also a vast literature of words, numbers, and pictures that describe and give directions. But just as important as accumulated practical knowledge is the contribution to the technology that comes from the understanding the principles that underline how things behave, that is, from scientific understanding. Engineering, the systematic application of scientific knowledge in developing and applying technology, has grown from a craft to become a science itself, in itself. Scientific knowledge provides a means of estimating what the behavior of things will be even before we make them or observe them. Moreover, science often suggests new kinds of behavior that had not even been imagined before, and so leads to new technologies. Engineers use knowledge of science and technology together with the strategies of design to solve practical problems. In return, technology provides the eyes and ears of science and some of the muscle too. The electronic computer, for example, has led to the substantial progress in the study of weather systems, demographic patterns, gene structure, and other complex systems that would not have been possible otherwise. Technology is essential to science for purposes of measurement, data collection, treatment of samples, computation, transportation to research sites such as Antarctica, the moon, or the ocean floor, sample collection, protection from hazardous materials, and communication. More and more, new instruments and techniques are being developed through technology that make it possible to advance various lines of scientific research. Technology does not just provide tools for science. However, it also may provide motivation and direction for theory and research. The theory of the conservation of energy, for example, was developed in large part because of the technological problem of increasing efficiency of commercial steam engines. The mapping of the locations of the entire set of genes in human DNA has been motivated by the technology of genetic engineering, which both makes such mapping possible and provides a reason for doing so. As technologies become sophisticated, their links to science become stronger. In some fields, such as solid-state physics, which involves transistors and superconductors, the ability to make something and the ability to study it are so interdependent that science and engineering can scarcely be separated. New technology often requires new understanding. New investigations often require new technology. Second is, engineering combines scientific inquiry and practical values. The component of technology most closely allied to scientific inquiry and to mathematical modeling is engineering. In its broadest sense, engineering consists of construing a problem and designing a solution for it. The basic method is to first devise a general approach and then work out the technical details of the construction of the requisite objects, such as an automobile engine, a computer chip, or a mechanical toy, or processes such as irrigation, opinion polling, or product testing. Much of what has been said about the nature of science applies to engineering as well, particularly the use of mathematics. The interplay of creativity and logic, the eagerness to be original, and the variety of people involved, the professional specialties, public responsibility, and so on. Indeed, there are more people called engineers than people called scientists, and many scientists are doing work that could be described as engineering as well as science. Similarly, many engineers are also engaged in science. Scientists see patterns in phenomena as making the world understandable. Engineers also see them as making the world manipulable. Scientists seek to show that theories fit the data. Mathematicians seek to show logical proof of abstract connections. Engineers seek to demonstrate that designs work. Scientists cannot provide answers to all questions. Mathematicians cannot provide all possible connections, and engineers cannot design solutions for all problems. But engineering affects the social system and culture more directly than scientific research, because it has immediate implications for the success or failure of human enterprise, and also for the benefit of personal benefit or harm. Engineering decisions, whether in designing an airplane bolt or an irrigation system for farming, inevitably involve social and personal values as well as scientific judgments. So that's it for the first topic under the nature of technology. Next is design and systems. Second topic under nature of technology, design and systems. First, the essence of engineering is design under constraint. Every engineering design operates within the constraints that must be identified and taken into account. One type of constraint is absolute. For example, physical laws such as the conservation of energy, or physical properties such as limits of flexibility, electrical conductivity, and friction. Other types have some flexibility, like economic, only so much money is available for this purpose. Political, local, state, and national regulations. Social, public opposition. Another is ecological, the likely disruption of the natural environment, and ethical issues, disadvantages to some people or risk to subsequent generations. An optimum design takes into account all the constraints and strikes some reasonable compromise among them. Reaching such design compromises, including sometimes the design not to develop a particular technology further, requires taking personal and social values into account. Although design may sometimes require only routine decisions about the combining of familiar components, often it involves great creativity in inventing new approaches to problems, new components, and new combinations, and great innovation in seeing new problems or new possibilities. But there is no perfect design. Accommodating one constraint can well often lead to conflict with others. For example, the lightest material may not be the strongest, or the most sufficient shape may not be the safest, or the most aesthetically pleasing. Therefore, every design problem leads itself to many alternative solutions, depending on what values people place on various constraints. The next under design and systems is all technologies involve control. All systems, from the simplest to the most complex, require control to keep them operating properly. The essence of control is comparing information about what is happening with what we want to happen, and then making appropriate adjustments. Control typically requires feedback from sensors or other sources of information, and logical comparisons of that information to instructions, or perhaps to other data input, and a means for activating changes. For example, a baking oven is a fairly simple system that compares the information from a temperature sensor to a control setting and turns the heating element up or down to keep the temperature within a small range or a variety of ranges. An automobile is a more complex system made up of subsystems for controlling engine temperature, combustion rate, direction, speed, and so forth. And for changing them when the immediate circumstances or instructions change. Miniaturized electronics makes possible logical control in a great variety of technical systems. Almost all but the simplest household appliances used today include microprocessors to control their performances. As controls increase in complexity, they require coordination, which means additional layers of control. Improvement in rapid communication and rapid processing of information makes possible very elaborate systems of control. Yet all technological systems include humans as well as mechanical or electronic components. Even the most automatic systems require human control at some point. To program built-in control elements, monitor them, take over from when they malfunction, and change when they are purposes of system change. The ultimate control lies with people who understand in some depth what the purposes and nature of the control purposes are and the context within the purposes or the process operates. Next is technologies always have side effects. In addition to its intended benefits, every design is likely to have unintended side effects in its production and application. In one hand, there may be unexpected benefits. For example, working conditions may be safer when materials are molded rather than stamped, and materials designed for space satellites may prove useful in consumer products. On the other hand, substances or processes involved in production may harm production workers or the public in general. For example, sitting in front of a computer may strain the user's eyes and lead to isolation from other workers. And jobs may be affected, like by increasing the employment for people involved in the new technology, decreasing employment for others involved in the old technology, and changing the nature of the work people must do their jobs. The next one is all technological systems can fail. Most modern technologies or technological systems, from transistor radios to airliners, have been engineered and produced to be remarkably reliable. Failure is rare enough to be surprising. Yet the larger and more complex system is, there are more ways there are in which it could go wrong. And the more widespread the possible effects of failure. A system or device may fail for different reasons, like because some parts fail, because some part is not well matched to some other, or because the design of the system is not adequate. For all the conditions under which it is used, one hedge against failure is overdesign. That is, for example, making something stronger or bigger than is likely to be necessary. Another hedge is redundancy. That is, building one backup system or more to take over in case the primary one fails. If a failure system would have very costly consequences, the system may be designed so that the most likely way of failing would do the least harm. Examples of such are fail-safe designs, okay, like in bombs, that they cannot explode when the fuse malfunctions, or like when car windows shatter into blunt materials, not sharp materials, okay, and they do not cause harm when they are destroyed, because even if they're flying fragments, there are no sharp parts. Okay. Other means of reducing the likelihood of a failure include improving the design by collecting more data, accommodating more variables, building more realistic working models, running computer simulations to design longer, imposing a tighter quality control, and building in controls to sense and correct problems as they develop. So that's it for the second topic under nature technology, which is design and systems. Third topic under nature of technologies is issues in technology. First subtopic is the human presence. The Earth's population has already doubled 3 times during the past century. Even at that, the human presence, which is evident almost everywhere on Earth, has had a greater impact than sheer numbers alone would indicate. We have developed the capacity to dominate most plant and animal species, far more than any other species can, and the ability to shape the future rather than merely respond to it. Use of that capacity has both advantages and disadvantages. On one hand, developments in technology have brought enormous benefits to almost all people. Most people today have access to goods and services that were once considered luxuries enjoyed by only the wealthy, like in transportation, communication, nutrition, sanitation, healthcare, entertainment, and so on. On the other hand, the very behavior that made it possible for the human species to prosper so rapidly has put us and the Earth's other living organisms at new kinds of risk. The growth of agricultural technology has made possible a very large population, but has put enormous strain on the soil and water systems that are needed to continue sufficient production. Our antibiotics cure bacterial infection, but may continue to work only if we invent new, faster ones than the resistant bacterial strains that are emerging. Our access to and the use of vast stores of fossil fuels have made us dependent on a non-renewable resource. In our present numbers, we will not be able to sustain our way of living on the energy that current technologies provide. And alternative technologies may be inadequate or may present unacceptable hazards. Our vast mining and manufacturing efforts produce our goods, but they also dangerously pollute our rivers and oceans, soil, and even the atmosphere. Already, byproducts of industrialization in the atmosphere may be depleting or has depleted the ozone layer, which screens the planet's surface from harmful ultraviolet rays, and may be creating a buildup of carbon dioxide, which is a greenhouse gas. Carbon dioxide traps heat and could raise the planet's average temperatures significantly. The environmental consequences of nuclear war, among its other disasters, could alter crucial aspects or can even wipe out all life on Earth. From the standpoint of other species, the human presence has reduced the amount of the Earth's surface available for them by clearing large areas of vegetation. We also have interfered with their food sources, changed their habitats by changing the temperature and chemical composition of large parts of the world environment. We also have destabilized ecosystems by introducing foreign species or invasive foreign species, deliberately or accidentally. People also have reduced the number of living species, and in some instances, has actually altered the characteristics of certain plants and animals by selective breeding, which has been done for thousands of years by humans, and more recently by genetic engineering. What the future holds for life on Earth, bearing some immense natural catastrophe, will be determined largely by the human species, which is what's happening now in COVID-19. The same intelligence that got us where we are, improving many aspects of human existence and also introduced new risks in the world, is actually also our main resource for survival. Next is technological and social systems interact strongly. Individual inventiveness is essential to technological innovation. Nonetheless, social and economic forces strongly influence what technologies will be undertaken. paid attention to, invested in, and used. Such decisions occur directly as a matter of government policy and indirectly as a consequence of the circumstances and values of a society at any particular time. In the US, for example, decisions about what technological options will prevail are influenced by many factors, such as consumer acceptance, patent laws, the availability of risk capital, the federal budget process, local and national regulations, media attention, economic competition, tax incentiveness, and scientific discoveries, which is also true to other countries. The balance of such incentives and regulations usually bears differently on different technological systems, encouraging some and discouraging others. Technology has strongly influenced the course of history and the nature of human society, and it continues to do so. The great revolutions in agricultural technology, for example, had more influence on how people live than political revolutions. Changes in sanitation and preventive medicine have contributed to the population explosion and also to its population control. Bows, arrows, gunpowder, even the nuclear explosives have in their turn changed how war was waged. The microprocessor that we are using is changing how people write, compute, bank, operate business, conduct research, communicate with one another, even how we study, like what we're doing now. Technology is largely responsible for such large-scale changes as the increased urbanization of society and the dramatically growing economic interdependence of communities worldwide. Historically, some social theorists have believed that technological change, such as industrialization and mass production, causes social change, whereas we believe that social change, such as political or religious changes, leads to technological change. However, it is clearly that because of the web of connections between technological and other social systems, many influences act in both directions. The third subtopic is the social system imposes restriction on the openness in technology. For the most part, the professional values of engineering are very similar to those of science, including the advantages seen in open sharing of knowledge. Because of the economic value of technology, however, there are also often constraints on the openness of science and engineering that are relevant to technological innovation. A large investment of time and money and considerable commercial risk are often required to develop a new technology and bring it to market. The investment might well be jeopardized if competitors had access to new technology without making a similar investment, and hence companies are often reluctant to share technological knowledge with each other. But no scientific or technological knowledge is likely to remain secret for very long. Secrecy most often provides only an advantage in terms of time, a head start, not absolute control of knowledge. Patent laws encourage openness by giving individuals and companies control over the use of any new technology they develop. However, to promote technological competition, such control is only limited for a period of time. The fourth subtopic is decisions about the use of technology are complex. Most technological innovations spread or disappear on the basis of free market forces. That is, on the basis of how people and companies respond to such innovations. Occasionally, however, the use of some technology becomes an issue subject to public debate and possibly formal regulation. One way in which technology becomes such an issue when a person, group, or business proposes to test or introduce a new technology, as has been the case with counter-plowing, vaccination, genetic engineering, nuclear power plants or any other technology. Okay. Another way is when technology is already widespread use, and it is called into question. For example, when people are told by individuals, organizations, or agencies that it is essential to stop or reduce the use of a particular technology or technological product that has been discovered to have or that may have possibly adverse effects. In such instances, the proposed solution may be to ban the burial of toxic waste in community dumps or prohibit the use of leaded gasoline and asbestos insulation, as an example. Rarely are technology-related issues simple and one-sided. Relevant technical facts alone, even when known and available, which often they are not, usually do not settle matters entirely in favor of one side or the other. The chances of reaching good personnel or collective decisions about technology depend on having information that neither enthusiasts nor skeptics are always ready to volunteer. The long-term interests of society are best served, therefore, by having processes for ensuring that key questions concerning proposals to curtail or introduce new technology are raised, and that as much relevant knowledge as possible is brought to bear on that new technology. Considering these questions does not ensure that the best decision will always be made, but the failure to raise key questions about, for example, new technologies will almost certainly result in poor decisions. These are the questions that can be used in concerning new technology. Number one, what are alternative ways to accomplish the same ends? What advantages and disadvantages are there to the alternatives? What trade-offs would be necessary between positive and negative side effects of each? Another is, who are the main beneficiaries? Who will receive few or no benefits? Who will suffer as a result of the proposed new technology? How long will the benefits last? Will the technology have other applications? Whom they will benefit? There are a lot of questions, okay, that is used. Individual citizens may seldom be in a position to ask or demand demand answers for the questions that I said earlier on a public level, but their knowledge on the relevance and importance of answers increases the attention given to the question by private enterprise, interest groups, public officials. Furthermore, individuals may ask the same question with regard to their own use of technology. For instance, their own use of sufficient or for their own use of their own household appliances or the substances that can contribute to pollution. For example, for the use of foods or fabrics. Okay. There will be a cumulative effect of those individual decisions can have a great impact on the large-scale use of technology as pressure on public decisions can. But not all questions can be answered readily. Most technological decisions have to be made on the basis of incomplete information. Another is, political factors are likely to have much influence as technical ones, as that happens all the time. But scientists, mathematicians, and engineers have a special role in looking far ahead as practical estimate benefits, side effects, and risks. They can also assist by designing adequate detection devices and monitoring techniques, and by setting up procedures for the collection and statistical analysis of relevant data. So that's it for the nature of technology issues concerning the use of technology. Thank you.